Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Heatheridge Sixth Ward Sacrament Meeting. I'd like to welcome all those that are visiting or here for the first time, and especially extend a warm welcome to Elder Matt Crabb, who returned from his mission just this week. Bishop Alan Misbach is presiding at this meeting and has asked that I, Brother Beckstead, conduct. I'd also like to recognize Brother Tony Martinez from the State High Council, who is here with us. By way of announcement, next Sunday is General Conference, so please plan to attend that and partake of the messages from our church leaders. Look forward to those meetings coming up next Saturday and Sunday. We also have a Trek Fireside. This will be the last chance to announce. It's a week from this Wednesday on October 5th in place of Mutual, and it should be a really neat event for all those who participated in Trek, as well as the deacons, beehives, family members, et cetera. And dessert will be there, so please don't miss, and there's gonna be a great movie of our Trek experience. Also, just another quick reminder, we appreciate those who have participated in the Friends of Scouting campaign and would invite all those who can to participate and contribute there. We will now begin this meeting by singing hymn number 66, Rejoice, the Lord is King, after which our invocation will be offered by Sister Tammy Hill.
Dear Father in heaven, we are so grateful to meet together as a ward this afternoon. We're thankful for this beautiful building that we can meet in and for our comfortable surroundings. We're grateful for one another and for the friendship and family that we feel in this ward. We're thankful for our dear bishop and for his counselors and their families, and pray that thou might strengthen them. We're grateful that Elder Crabb returned safely from his mission. We're grateful for him and for his family too. We are grateful for the opportunity we have to come today and renew our baptismal covenants and our promise to thee that we might live as a witness of thy Son and always remember him. We pray that we might do so in renewing those covenants again today, that we might strengthen ourselves individually and collectively in this desire to be like the Savior. We love thee so much and say these things humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Brother Tony Martinez has some stake business to conduct.
The stake presidency has asked that I conduct the following business. Paul R. Tidwell of the Heatheridge Third Ward has been released as high counselor in the Utah Heatheridge stake. Deborah M. Dean, who has moved from the Heatheridge Fifth Ward, has been released as first counselor in the Stake Relief Society presidency. Lanny E. Brower of the Heatheridge Seventh Ward has been released as second counselor in the Stake Relief Society presidency, and Johnny Osler of the Heatheridge Second Ward has been released as assistant state clerk. We propose that they be given a vote of thanks. Those who wish to express their thanks may do so by the uplifted hand. Would the following please stand if present? Kyle R. Christensen of the Heather's First Ward has been called as High Counselor in the Heather's Utah, in the Orem, Utah Heather's Stake. We propose that he be sustained. Those in favor may manifest it by the uplifted hand. Those opposed, if any, may manifest. Lanny E. Brower of the Heather's Seventh Ward has been called as First Counselor in the Stake Relief Society Presidency. Sharon Lender of the Heather's Fourth Ward has been called as Second Counselor in the Stake Relief Society Presidency. We propose that they be sustained. Those in favor may manifest it by the uplifted hand. Those opposed, if any, may manifest. Thank you very much.
The following member has been released from her calling, and we propose that she be given a vote of thanks for her service. Sister Rachel DeVore, as a Relief Society board member. Those who wish to express their appreciation may manifest it by the uplifted hand. The following member has been called to a new calling, and we propose that she be sustained. Will the following stand if she is present? Sister Rachel DeVore, as a Relief Society teacher. Those in favor may manifest it by the uplifted hand. Those opposed, if any, may also manifest it. Thank you. We have a wonderful meeting today. We look forward to hearing from our speakers. We will begin by hearing from Sister Ashley Knighting, after which we'll hear from Elder Matt Crabb. We will then sing hymn number 22, We Listen to a Prophet's Voice, and then we will hear from Brother Colton Stoddard. Ashley.
Hello, for those who don't know me, my name is Ashley Knighting, and today I've been asked to speak on keeping the commandments. As I was pondering this topic, the question came to my mind, why do we keep the commandments? With this in my mind, I had the opportunity to go to Beehive Camp. This was fun because we got to go to a Timpanogos Lodge with all the beehives in the stake, and the theme was for this was becoming like him. And during this, we learned about how can we become like him. And going back to the question, why do we keep the commandments? I learned through that experience that we do it to become more like Christ. In John 14, it talks about how Christ is the way, the truth, and the light. And in verse 15, it says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. So not only do we have to keep the commandments to become like him, we keep them to show our love for him. In the 2015 General Conference, Carol M. Steffens, First Counselor in the Relief Society General Presidency, said, we may feel at times that God's laws restrict our personal freedom, take from us our agency, and limit our growth. But as we seek for greater understanding, as we allow our Father to teach us, we will seek for greater understanding. As we allow our Father to teach us, we will begin to see that his laws are a manifestation of his love for us, and obedience to his laws is an expression for our love for him. And with that, I'd like to bear my testimony that I know this church is true, and I know that Thomas S. Monson is a true living prophet. And I know that when we keep the commandments, we are showing God our love for him, and that if we keep the commandments, our lives will be blessed immensely. I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good evening. For those of you who do not know me or do not recognize me, I'm Matt Crabb. I just got back from my mission in Brazil, in a city called Curitiba. It's a little bit south of Sao Paulo, and it was an amazing experience. I got back on Wednesday, and it's still really weird to be here, but it's an awesome experience, and I apologize in advance if I accidentally speak a little bit of Portuguese in my talk or mispronounce a word that may not be that well pronounced. So today, I wasn't really given a topic. I was sort of told to talk about my mission, and that's going to be incredibly easy since a mission was easily the best thing I've ever done, and I'm sure it will be one of the highlights of my life when I'm old and gray and looking back. Something that Bishop asked me is to help some of the younger men that have not yet gone on missions to want to go on a mission. You know, and that's something that I feel like is really easy, because if we really understand, really know what a mission is, I feel like it's not so much as a desire or a job, but something that we were predestined to do, something that as you go through it, it's a weird thing, it's something you've never done in your life, and it's something that you've never experienced anything like that, you haven't really taught anybody, you honestly don't know the gospel that well, but it's something that the angels are at your side and you're guided by divine inspiration, and it's something that's incredible. But during my mission, there were three things that really stood out to me, three things that really changed my mission and changed myself as I am. And I wanted to talk a little bit about those. The first thing was the sacrament. And in my last area, there was a really sort of a sick older woman whose name was Maria Tomasia. And she was the only member in her family. She was the only member of the church that was, I'm sorry, she was the only member of her family that was in the church. Her husband was not part of the church. Her brothers, her parents, her children, nobody else had ever been in the church. And she always loved going to church. She understood very well the importance of the sacrament and how we need to take it every week. And as time went on, she got a lot more sick, and she started coming to church in a wheelchair. Her husband would take her to church, drop her off, and he'd go home. And then 3 hours later, he'd come pick her up with her wheelchair and put her in the car. And she started to get a lot more sick, and she started not being able to get into the wheelchair. And nobody else visited her, and she sort of sat there without anything. She wasn't able to pick up her scriptures. She was incredibly sick. And when I got in the last area, it was sort of like a whitewash, for those of you who know what it is, because my companion, the missionary that was in my place before me, he was really sick. So my companion had just gotten on the mission. He didn't know very well the area. And so we were kind of lost. And so we started out, and we worked a lot with the members that were there. And one young man that was there, he actually talked to somebody who knew this woman. And he said, "Hey, there's an older lady that lives on the street over here that she's less active. She hasn't gone to church for a while. Maybe we can visit her." And so we went over there and we visited her, and all she wanted was to take the sacrament. That was really all that she wanted out of our whole visit. She said, "I want the sacrament, and I want you guys to give me a blessing because I really do need it." And that was sort of a weird experience, because all she wanted was the sacrament. That was something that really made me think. That was something that made me realize a little more profoundly the importance of the sacrament. And the first time that we gave it to her, we also taught a little bit about the sacrament with her. And that's something that I'd like to read a little bit with you guys. In John 6, Christ talks a little bit about the bread of life, that he is the bread of life, and that he would give his body for us so that we can live. And he talked a little bit about the children of Israel, and how they were given the manna that fell from heaven and fed them for 40 years. And he talked a little bit about that. He said, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man might eat and not die." Continuing a little bit further in verse 54, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." That is a powerful promise that Christ gives to us right there, that if we take the sacrament, obviously worthily, and knowing what we're doing, that we will be risen up at the last day. That's something incredible. I thought it was always interesting that after this brief talk, this discussion that he gave, a lot of people said it was hard. It was hard to hear, and a lot of them left. A lot of them simply didn't do it, and I think that's a lot of the reason, because you have to be worthy to take the sacrament. It's something that is incredibly important, that beyond simply understanding what it is, we have to also prepare ourselves. That we have a brief time to remember the Lord so closely that we partake of his body and his blood, and that's something that's incredible, and that's something that will really affect my life and affected my mission in an incredible way. I also think that it's amazing that we have so much to learn about the sacrament through the scriptures. That's something else that really changed my mission and will change my life. As a missionary, you obviously study a lot. When you first get there, you spend 4 hours every morning during 3 months studying. And then you spend 2.5 hours. And then if you're training again, you're going to spend another 4 hours. So I spent a lot of time studying on my mission, and I learned a lot about studying. I learned a lot about the difference between reading and studying. I think that before my mission, I'd never really studied very well, to be honest. I had read the Book of Mormon before. I'd read it about a time and a half before my mission. But on my mission, I read it 7 more times, and it was incredible. And I really got to know very well the difference between reading and studying. There's a total difference between knowing the story and learning from the story. That's something that I saw that was incredibly different. And there's also an awesome scripture about that in Luke. In Luke chapter 4, which is actually when Christ was tempted by the devil himself, which I thought is got to be a hard time, if we're being honest. Everyone has temptations. Everyone passes through things that are difficult. But Christ was physically tempted by the devil before him. And what he did and what he used to get through that experience, obviously he was the Savior and he wasn't going to fail, but what helped him through were the scriptures. I thought that was always incredible. He was actually challenged 3 times by the devil, and each time he used the scripture to sort of rebuff it, the attack, the temptation that the devil had given him. The first one is Jesus. He had just fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. I'm sure he was incredibly hungry, and I'm sure that the rocks were starting to look pretty tasty. And the devil said, "Hey, well, you're the Son of God. Why don't you just turn this rock into a loaf of bread, and you're good to go." And he simply said, "It is written," which means that it's in the scriptures, "that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." I thought it was really important that he said every word of God. That Christ didn't say, "Well, I read a little bit of the scriptures, I've got a pretty good idea, and so I'm going to stay clear." But he made it clear that every word of God, that we also need to study not just the Book of Mormon, but the Old Testament, the New Testament, the books written by the living prophets, the Doctrine and Covenants, how important and how effective these things are in our lives. And the devil actually took him up into a high mountain, and he said, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For what that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it to thee. If thou wilt worship me, if thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine." And Christ simply said, "It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." So one more time he was tempted by the very devil himself, and one more time he was able to get over that temptation, which was a lot stronger than anything we'll ever experience, because he read the scriptures. Because he knew the scriptures, and he had studied them and not just read them. And I thought it's really interesting that the third temptation that the devil gives us, he also uses the scripture. He says, "It is written, He brought Jesus up to a tall point, a pinnacle in Jerusalem. And he said, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." I think that's sort of an interesting temptation. Hey, jump out of here and prove to me that you're the Son of God. I think a lot of people would have gotten, maybe proudful is a good word, that prideful, that they wanted to prove, "Yeah, I'm the Son of God, I really am. You're seeing me, I've done miracles. I was baptized, the Holy Ghost descended upon me like a dove. I've done it all, I'm gonna do it all, I'm gonna rise from the dead." And he was sort of challenged. And I think a lot of people, at least I find myself, that I would want to be a little bit prideful. I'd want to sort of prove him right and say, "Yeah, I am who I am. I'm the Son of God. That's good." But Jesus Christ, he simply used a very basic scripture. He said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And so I really like this experience, because we can see so clearly how the scriptures gave the Son of God strength. And obviously he was the strongest person that's ever been here. And a lot of that wasn't simply because he was born the Son of God. A lot of that is because he tried. And we are also sons of God. We are sons and daughters of God. That's an incredible part of our identity that nobody will ever be able to take from us. But if we don't read the scriptures, we don't understand that very well. That's something that I found out, that as a kid growing up in the church, I always sang, "I am a child of God, and he has sent me here, has given me an earthly home with parents kind and dear." I was saying that, and I always heard that, and I always knew that. But I learned that a lot better on my mission, that beyond being just the Son of God, I learned a lot more what that means. I learned a lot more that I literally am the Son of God, that he's my Father, that at any point I can simply talk to him, at any point he's watching over me, and at any point he's helping me. The same way that any parent on this earth wants the best for their children, he wants the best for us. But the same way on this earth that parents don't force their kids to do things, he doesn't force us to do anything. He simply gave us an instruction manual to help us out along our way and said, "Hey, you need to read this, you need to study this." And he gave us a perfect example of someone who read and studied and used that to overcome the difficulties that they found in their lives. And the third thing that I really learned a lot better on my mission are prophets, modern day prophets. And again, as a kid, that was totally normal to me. Every 6 months we had to sit down for 2 hours, and we had another break, and then we had another 2 hours, and then the next day we had another 2 hours, and another 2 hours. It was really normal to me that we sat down and we watched prophets talk, and I don't think I really understood that very well before my mission. I think it was sort of just a little kid listening to wise men speak, rather than a son of God listening to prophets of God speak. And that's something that I really learned to appreciate on my mission. Something that always not shocked me, but something that was incredible, is how slow we are to follow the prophets. I think we all kind of look at the scripture and say, how did they not believe him? How did How did that not work out? How did they not do that? It was obvious. It was a prophet of God. Why didn't they just do it? And that was something that kind of like got on me. And I remembered as a kid, I always wanted to have sleepovers. I always wanted to have sleepovers. I think every kid wants to have them. They want to sleep at their friend's house. They want their friends to sleep over there. And my parents always said, no, the prophet said that we can't, so we're not going to have one this week. I was like, oh, okay. And that was sort of just the law of the parents for me. And I understood a lot better on the mission that, wow, that was what the prophet said. And I was the one that didn't want to follow the prophet. I was the guy in the scriptures that everybody's thinking, why didn't they just follow the prophet? And I learned that a lot better. And a story that I really like about that, it comes from a man named Naaman, I think is how you pronounce it in English. That Naaman, he was a leper. He was actually sort of a dignitary in Syria. And he was a very important man. And he got leprosy. And he heard that there was someone in Israel that could cure him, a prophet. And he thought, well, that's pretty cool. I'm gonna go over there, give him a bunch of presents. I'm gonna go there with horses and with gold and with money, and I'm gonna bring a ton of people with me. And we're gonna go there, we're gonna visit him, I'm gonna give him some presents, and then he's gonna cure me, and this will work out perfectly. And so we went over there to Elisha, I believe it is in English, Elisha. And Elisha actually didn't even leave to see him. He didn't go out the front gate, he sent a servant. And the servant told him, hey, Naaman, Elisha told me that if you go take a bath 7 times in the Jordan River, you're going to get cured. And Naaman kind of thought, well, what is this? I traveled so far with so many people, with horses, with gold, with so many great things. This guy doesn't even come out to meet me and tells me to go take a bath in a dirty river. I think that was sort of something that was hard for him to hear, something that he thought was simply ridiculous. And I thought it was really interesting that his servants, after he had said that he wasn't going to do it, he's like, this is ridiculous, I'm not going to do it, I'm just going to go home and die a leper. His servants said unto him, and his servants came near and spake unto him, said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then would he say to thee, wash and be clean? They said, well, the prophets have given us great things to do, and we obey them, because simply they're great, they're very clearly from God. And now I give you a small thing to do, and you're not going to do it. And I think that kind of applies to us a lot, that the prophets, we've obviously got big things to do. We can't smoke, we can't drink, we can't kill people. We have to do the big things. But there are also a lot of small things that the prophets tell us to do, about ponderizing a scripture every week, like was spoken in this last conference, about studying the scriptures as much as we can, about having a family home evening, about reading scriptures in family. There's so many small things that I think we kind of overlook simply because they're small things. But there's still instructions from God. There's still instructions from a prophet, which is something incredible. And those are some of the things that on my mission really changed my mission, that I'm sure will really shape my life. Something that Elder Jeffrey R. Holland said about his mission and about missionaries really struck me. When I was in my first area, I was getting really frustrated. I didn't speak Portuguese. I didn't know anybody. My companion was an ex-military, so he just kind of wanted to get things done. He didn't want to talk about anything. I was frustrated. I was annoyed. I didn't speak anything. And I kind of got, not depressed, but I think every missionary kind of passes a point where he thinks about, well, going home wouldn't be too bad, you know. But I am eternally grateful that I stayed. And my district leader, he actually gave me a talk from Jeffrey R. Holland that is called Feed My Sheep. I'm sure a lot of the missionaries, or just normal people as well, have also heard that. And Jeffrey R. Holland, he says right at the beginning that the mission, his mission shaped his life, his marriage, his study, and his ministry as an apostle, and that he doesn't pass a day without looking back on it. And that was something that sort of changed my thought. That if I didn't go forward, I would forever look back on that day and think, why didn't I just go another day? Why didn't I just be a little stronger like Christ has shown us? And honestly, I'm really glad I served the mission. A mission was easily the best experience of my life, like I said. And I think I went into the mission kind of lightheaded. I think I went into my mission thinking, awesome, everybody goes on their mission. They baptize some people and they come home. And I never really thought about that those 2 years. To me, it was always just kind of that guy disappeared for a little while, and then in 2 years, he's coming back. And I really learned on my mission the importance of what happens out there, the difference between living in Utah, where everybody's a missionary, and the difference living in a place where you are the only member in the church in your entire school out of hundreds of kids. And that's something that's really, really changed, something that's incredible. I feel like a lot of people also talk about only the good things on their mission. I want to make it clear to everybody who hasn't yet served a mission that one day wants to, it's not all good things. You're going to have a lot of days where you just want to kind of roll up in the shade and stop walking because you already walked 20 miles that day, and it would be really nice to just sit down for a little while. There are days when you don't want to go anymore. There are days when you have blisters on your feet the size of golf balls. There are days when you just don't get along with your companion. You don't want to hit him because if you hit him, you're going to go home. It's not all just great things, but honestly, the great things outweigh the bad things infinitely. It's incredible, the differences between the good things, the bad things, and the great things, because every day on your mission is a great day, because you are literally representing the Savior. There is nobody else on the earth that has the same authority, the same position that you have. There is nobody else that can go door to door saying, hey, the Lord sent us to you. We're here to help you. Do you want our help? And it's the best thing that I've ever done in my life. And if you're thinking about going, just go. I honestly believe that if you are physically able to serve a mission and you don't go on a mission, it would be the worst mistake you could ever make. My mission shaped me. I'm sure it will help me a lot in my life. It changed me for the better. And I learned a lot about this gospel. I learned a lot about the most important thing, God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And I got a lot closer to him. And I'm extremely grateful for that. And I know that Joseph Smith was a prophet. I know that he really did see God and Jesus Christ in a grove on a simple spring day because he had the same desire. He simply wanted to follow Christ. He simply wanted to know which was the church that Jesus Christ had made when he was here on the church, when he was here on the earth. And because of that simple doubt, that simple question, that study, we're here. You know, none of us would be here today. I wouldn't have served a mission. None of you who have served missions would be here today or have served missions or have learned the other language if Joseph Smith didn't simply pray. I think that's incredible that we're all here because of one simple prayer, that I crossed the world because of a simple prayer, that I learned a language because of a simple prayer. But I know it's all true. I know this church is really given and guided by Christ. And I leave these things with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. My name is Colton Stoddard, and a lot of you don't know me because my wife and I have only lived here for about a month and a half, possibly. But like I said, I'm Colton Stoddard, and my wife is Clary, and we have a five-month-old baby boy, Nixon. I'm going to school at UVU right now. I'm pre-dental, and Clary's getting close to graduating at BYU. That's a little bit about us. As I was listening to Matt speak, I was thinking about my mission. Clary and I, we actually both served in the Northern Germany Berlin mission. We didn't meet there. That's another story. But we both served in Northern Germany. And every time I get the opportunity to sit up here, I'm actually extremely amazed. Because if you look around right now, and if you look back there, clear back there, and if you go out these doors right here, you'll see another church, literally in the parking lot. And down the road, there's two steak standers in the same parking lot. I grew up in Utah. I grew up in Ogden, Utah. And I gotta be honest, I'd never seen that until I came to Utah Valley here. I'd never seen two churches side by side like that. But it's amazing. If you think about it, look at all the members we have in this ward. And this isn't even all of us. There are so many more people who aren't coming to church for a variety of reasons. But it's incredible to see how many members there are in the church today, all over the world. And I was thinking about my mission. I served in two cities. So every city that I served in, of course, there weren't as many members as there are here in Utah. However, there were, in two cities, an extremely low amount of members. In one city I served in, it's close to Hamburg, and it's called Stade. And in the city, there were literally about 18 members, which would be maybe the first three rows here. And
I'm sure that some of you can understand that. I'm sure that some of you have been around the world and to other wards and have been to wards that there aren't as many members as there are here. And the other city that I served in, so in Stade we had a building to meet in with our 18 members. And in the other city I served in, there were about 10 of us who would come. There were about 30 that were supposed to be coming, but half of them were inactive. So there were about 10 members each week who would come to church. And we met in a Marriott Inn. We rented a room each Sunday from this hotel, and that's where we'd meet every Sunday, us 10 members. And I gotta say, it was an incredible experience. The testimony that those members over in Germany have are incredible. And the testimony that we all have is incredible. And that's why I urge you every Sunday when you come just to look around and see all of the members of the church who are coming every Sunday. It's incredible. It is so incredible. And now that I've said that, now that you've realized how many of us there are, I wanted to point something out. And it's a hard truth that some of you may not take lightly, but none of you, no one in this room is perfect. And what I mean by that is there is so much room for improvement. So I'm sure that some of you out there, you may be comfortable where you're at. You may be comfortable financially. You may have a wonderful family. Your life is wonderful. Every day is happy. Every day is such a great day. And the amazing thing with that is that you still have room for improvement. I promise you, you are not perfect. What I do want to point out today, and what I hope that you will all be able to take home with you, is, like I said, we all have room for improvement, and there are ways to improve. I want to go back a little bit to talking about how many members there are here today. And when on April 6th, 1829, Joseph Smith, he restored the church. That was the day that they came together and they made it official that this was the Church of Jesus Christ. I want to share what he said about that. This is in the history of the church. And he said, "After a happy time spent in witnessing and feeling for ourselves the powers and blessings of the Holy Ghost, through the grace of God bestowed upon us, we dismissed with the pleasing knowledge that we were now individually members of and acknowledged of God, the Church of Jesus Christ, organized in accordance with commandments and revelations given by him to ourselves in these last days, as well as according to the order of the church as recorded in the New Testament." On that day, there were about 60 people who came together. About 60 people who were there and who became members of the Church of Jesus Christ in 1829. And now all over the world there are so many of us. And that is incredible. That is just incredible. Like I was saying, no one here is perfect. Back then in those 60 people, they weren't perfect. Joseph Smith, he was not perfect. He made mistakes, just like every single one of us. Christ said in 3 Nephi, well, he says it multiple times throughout the scriptures, but a simple one is in 3 Nephi 12, verse 48. He said, "I would that ye be perfect even as I, or my Father who is in heaven is perfect." Jesus Christ was a perfect man. Just like Matt was talking about, he was tempted by Satan, and he went about it perfectly. He didn't give in to temptation. Our Heavenly Father is perfect. And have you ever asked yourself, because you come to church every Sunday, you come, you partake of the sacrament, have you ever asked yourself why we need to be perfect? Why Heavenly Father asks us to be perfect? I'm not going to answer that. I don't necessarily have a perfect answer for that. but I would like to pose a couple of questions on you. And these questions will hopefully, if you take them into your hearts and if you apply them, will hopefully help you strive towards perfection, just as our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ wants us to. The first question I want to ask you, and really think about this, is why do you come to church every Sunday? Why are all of you here right now? Think about that. Why did you come to church? Do you have friends here that you like to come and be with? Did you come here to partake of the sacrament? Did you come because you wanted to learn more of the gospel? Why did you come to church today? When you go out of town and you're on vacation and Sunday rolls along, do you go to church? If you do, why do you go to church when you're out of town? You're not at your home ward. If you don't go to church, why didn't you go to church that week? Was it because your friends aren't there? I really want everyone here to think about that. Why do you come to church every Sunday? That is such an important question you need to ask yourself. The second question I'd like to ask you is, what are you doing every single day to become perfect? And more specifically, what are you doing on Sunday to become perfect? What are you doing at church to become perfect? We have once a week the opportunity to come together. And we have the Spirit with us. Today the Spirit is with us. President Eyring's talk in General Conference this last April was called when, what was it called exactly? I have it right here. Where two or three are gathered. And what that saying basically is, where when two or three are gathered, then he'll be with us. And it's in D&C 6:32, and here it's a little bit shortened, but it says, "The Lord promised that even with the great number of his disciples on earth today, he would be close to each of us. He said to his little band of disciples in 1829, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, where two or three are gathered together in my name, behold, there will I be in the midst of them. Even so am I in the midst of you.'" Just like it says there, even though there are so many of us around the world, when we gather together like this on Sunday, our Savior is with us. The Spirit is here teaching us. And so coming back to that first question, are you asking yourself every Sunday, what am I going to get out of this today? How can I take this throughout the rest of the week, and how can I better myself? Why are you coming to church on Sunday? Why are you here right now? I'd like to bear my testimony. I come to church every Sunday because I know the gospel is true. I know that I am far from perfect. I have so much that I need to improve on. But what I do want someday is I want to return to live with my Heavenly Father. I want to take my family with me to live with my Heavenly Father. And I want to stand before my Heavenly Father one day, and I want him to be so proud of what I did here on earth. Never become content with where you are. You can always improve yourself. Like I said before, if you're happy right now and you're living an amazing life, then that's incredible. That is so awesome. But what we need to keep in mind is there is always room for improvement. Never become content with where you're at. I want to stand before God and I want him to know that I tried my hardest. Here on earth, it is hard to become perfect. It is hard to strive for that every single day. We make so many mistakes every day, but that's what he asks of us. He wants us to better ourselves. He wants us to lead a happy life, a happier life than we may be living right now. And so ask yourself, what are you going to do today to learn something? What can you take from your lessons today? What can you learn from our speakers today? How can you improve yourself tomorrow? I know that our Savior lives. And you're all here today. I know that you have testimonies, big or small. You have a testimony that our Savior lives, that he restored this church, that he restored it through the prophet Joseph Smith, and that the church was reorganized on April 6, 1829, with just 60 of us, and now all over the world there are so many of us who come together who are learning about our Savior because we are striving to be like him. I promise you that if you take every Sunday, if you take something home with you and you try to improve yourself, you try to become more perfect, I promise you that your lives will be so much happier, that you'll feel closer to your Savior, that you'll feel closer to Heavenly Father, and you'll have the Spirit with you every day. So I challenge all of you to ask yourself that every Sunday. What am I going to take home today? I know that our Savior lives and that he loves us. And I know that Heavenly Father loves us. And I know that the Spirit teaches us. And I know that we have a prophet to guide us and that we have General Conference coming up again where all of those people, all of those members all around the world, members, non-members, are going to be watching General Conference, watching our prophet teach us so that they can learn from him, so that they can take something out of that and that they can grow and better themselves. So take something out of this. I'd like to leave that with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'd like to thank our speakers and all those who participated today. As a reminder, with next Sunday being General Conference, the week after will be our Fast and Testimony meeting and Fast Sunday. We will now close by singing hymn number 274, The Iron Rod, after which our benediction will be offered by Sister Jean Jensen.
We're grateful for the privilege we've had to be in sacrament meeting this Sabbath day. We're thankful that we can come to the sacrament table and be made clean again upon conditions of repentance. We're grateful for the messages we've heard today. We pray that thou wilt bless us to be willing to go again, to try one more time to be better than we have been in the past. Help us to listen and internalize the messages that we will receive in our Sunday School and Priesthood and Relief Society lessons and young men, young women in primary today. Help us to try to be better. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.